You're with us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we have Congresswoman Gwen Moore on the line for a conversation about a variety of topics, including health care, lead exposure, elections, news on the national front, lots of things to cover. What are your questions for Congresswoman Moore? What are your biggest concerns? What do you think Washington politicians need to know about Wisconsin at this very moment? Join in at 800-642-1234. Gwen Moore is a Democratic congresswoman from Wisconsin, representing the 4th Congressional District in Milwaukee and several of its neighboring communities. And she served in Congress since she was first elected in 2004. Representative Moore, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's start this summer when you introduced a bill that would expand Medicaid reimbursement rates for doulas and midwives. And you said at the time it would help low-income mothers and mothers of color who too often experience poor birth outcomes. But there are lots of competing interests here. Dentists and nurses, mental health professionals. There are so many others who want Medicaid rate hikes as well. Are doulas and midwives your top priority for expanding Medicaid?
Well, thanks for that question, Kate. And I think it was a great setup for a conversation about the need to expand Medicaid, period. The reality is that dental, vision, all of these things are important for people's overall health, but you got to be born first. you got to have a good start. And we have found that maternal deaths and infant deaths really rival those in so-called third world countries. So this is a crisis, particularly among women of color. When you can have better outcomes in places like Afghanistan than you can in the United States or indeed in Wisconsin, I would say that that was a crisis.
Aside from Medicaid reimbursement rates, are there other ways that the federal government should be addressing these socioeconomic gaps in birth outcomes?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of evidence. We've talked to doctors that systemic racism, period, really threatens the health of people of color. Whether or not people's symptoms will be taken seriously. I remember way back in the day when I was in my 20s, a former classmate of mine went to the emergency room, and they literally gave her some Tylenol to go home, and she had an ectopic pregnancy. Mm. Where they just didn't take her symptoms seriously, put their best effort forward to address her clearly a painful obstruction in her fallopian tubes. And so, we found this problem compounded over the years, and it's just unnecessary. These are preventable deaths.
Well, let's look at SNAP now. You want the Trump administration to reject these proposed limits on food stamp qualifications. The Trump administration says the limits would close a loophole. What are your concerns here as you see this? And it could save $2.5 billion a year for our country.
Well, and let me just say this. You don't save money at the expense of feeding children. What he wants to do, there are a couple of things he wants to do. Number one, he wants to raise or lower the threshold for eligibility for SNAP down to 130% of the poverty level. I mean, we already know that the poverty level is way far below what it ought to be in terms of what is it, about $16,000 a year. For a family, which of course is impossible for anybody to live on. So 130% of the poverty level is already someone who is in deep poverty. This would put about 4 million people more in deep poverty and not provide them with just basic nutrition. And so that's one thing he wants to do. Another thing he wants to do is to include SNAP as part of public charge. The new rules that were just promulgated would really focus and target immigrants in particular immigrants of color, low-income, poor immigrants, to say that they wouldn't have a path to citizenship if there were any uptake of the use of SNAP. This would mean that immigrants would find themselves being hungry when otherwise they might be eligible for SNAP. And this is just another inhumane way of, you know, poking a finger in the eye of immigrants.
Talking about national political issues with Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Milwaukee, you can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What issues in your community should Congress be addressing? What are your top concerns? What do you think about food stamps and lead abatement programs, drug prices, birth outcomes? Join in at 800-642-1234. Congresswoman Moore, as we talked there briefly about immigration, this year President Trump moved $3.6 billion in funding for military base projects to pay for the border wall. And we recently learned some of this money would have funded a small arms range for Wisconsin's Air National Guard. And Senator Ron Johnson says Congress will approve new funds to cover that project. What is your view here of moving funds toward the border wall?
Well, you know, with all due respect to Senator Johnson, our senator, you know, he's covering his behind with those comments. We work hard. It is really a hard negotiation to get a budget done. And we had we worked toward getting these funds for the Defense Department. And as a matter of fact, the Pentagon has pushed back on this notion that we're going to just allow the administration, you know, to hijack, to steal the money, and, oh, we can just backfill it. No, not only do they want to take $3.7 billion out of the fiscal year budget, but prospectively in the fiscal year 20 budget, he wants to take another $8 billion plus for his border wall. You know, the president promised folk a border wall. He said Mexico was going to pay for it. I've even had an initiative to create an account so that, you know, Mexico could deposit the money for this border wall. We need border fencing. There have been we have appropriated dollars in Congress to fix up fencing where it's appropriate. But even Republicans and especially I'm thinking of Will Hurd, who just resigned, who has more border with Mexico than any other member of Congress, has indicated that this is just stuck on stupid, waiting on dumb to come, to spend all this money on a border wall. There are much more effective ways to protect our border, and we need to use these funds for more electronic and technological surveillance, as well as providing more personnel. Mm. When you talk to people, they say you need people and not walls.
Congresswoman Gwen Moore is with us as we talk about issues facing Congress, issues on immigration. Are you worried about health care, the economy, gun violence, border security, as we've been talking about? What are your thoughts here? What are your priorities? What do you want Capitol Hill lawmakers to act on now? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll stay with Representative Moore, pick up this conversation in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. The morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kan. Thanks for being here. We have Congresswoman Gwen Moore on the line from Washington, and we're checking in on a number of issues on the Hill, including, we'll get to the status of a stopgap spending measure to keep the government open past September 30th. What are your questions for Congresswoman Moore? What are your concerns? 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Milwaukee stays with us. We have a tweet here. Dave is asking, why do Democrats seem to be totally on board with President Trump's military exploits? Dave says, drone bombing, occupying Iraq and Afghanistan, arming Israel. What do you think here in terms of how Democrats are responding on the international front, Congresswoman?
Well, Kate, you know, with all due respect, I reject the premise of his question. I mean, I'm a Democrat, and I am definitely not on board with all of these military exploits. You know, Democrats have taken the leadership in demanding a new authorization to use military force. I've signed on to that. We are very concerned that the authorization, even before I became a member in 2001, has really been exploited for all kind of military excursions since then. And I'm telling you, I mean, what keeps me up at night recently is this whole notion that we're going to protect Saudi oil fields. You know, these folks who have, the bone drill killers that you know, we're going to put our troops and our military assets and resources.
What should our response be to Iran?
Well, you know, we're not under any obligation. We have sold a lot of weapons to Saudi Arabia. You know, it's their responsibility to protect their terrain and their assets and their resources. I mean, President Trump, for example, has said we're not going to be the police of the world. So why make the first exception Saudi Arabia? We don't have a formal agreement with them versus our strong relationship with NATO. You know, so it seems so counterintuitive to me for us to be backing away from our strategic and historic alliance with NATO, and yet we're going to double down on a relationship with Saudi Arabia. This is something, and if we're going to do anything, he needs to come to Congress with that. And not make some unilateral decision from the White House based on an old authorization to use military force.
Well, let's go to the phones now. Let's go to Chris joining us from Port Wing. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I was wondering what the Congresswoman thought about the potential for creating meaningful, good jobs through the climate justice movement. It seems like there's a great opportunity for economic growth and dealing with a real critical problem.
Chris, thanks for the call. Congresswoman Moore, what about climate and creating jobs?
You know, Chris, I think you're spot on. And I think that, you know, not only, would this save our planet, but it would create a whole new economy. And I think that it requires a tremendous investment. I think it's so important to realize that even though the president pulled us out of the Paris Climate Agreement, that the private sector is still going forth with these initiatives because they know that it will make money for them. And so, Chris, I think you're spot on, and I am all about that. Now, what iteration of that we finally adopt? Is where the fight is.
We talked with Senator Ron Johnson earlier this week, and we were touching on earlier about NAFTA and the replacement for it, the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. It seems as if Democrats here are on board with it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said earlier this week that they're on a path to yes. Do you support that agreement?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a member of the Committee on Ways and Means, but there has been a panel that the Speaker has put together of members that include members of the Committee on Ways and Means and the Subcommittee on Trade, in addition to other members who have really spent a lot of time and effort on these agreements. And so those initiatives will come back to us for final approval. But I think that there are still some sticking points, Kate, and the working group is focusing on four areas that the caucus has identified that this USMCA is falling short. And that is you know, strong enforcement mechanisms for the labor rules that Mexico has adopted. Really, access to affordable medicines, the chapter on pharmaceuticals, the environmental rules, and again, the enforcement for all of the above. And so I think that we're waiting on the U.S. Trade Representative, Mr. Lighthizer, to really get back to us and try to figure out where we can come to some compromises and some agreements on these elements.
Let's bring in Patrick now in Richland Center. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for the program.
Sure.
Congresswoman, I got a question for you. I've been talking to both Republicans and Democrats about the immigration issue. Everybody agrees that the way to solve it is simply, instead of going after the poor employees, the undocumented help, you go after management and ownership that hires them. And in fact, the media recently, when they had the raids in Mississippi, tried to put it on the radar screen by pointing out that nobody from ownership was arrested or in any way penalized for hiring all these people. So you Democrats didn't even take the opportunity that the media gave you to make this part of the discussion. So what is going on here?
Thank you, Patrick. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Patrick. Good morning. You know, if you made the point, not a single person who was an employer was cited or arrested, that this was all part of the daytime talk show. You know, I would have to say, Patrick, that our heads are spinning. Every single, it wasn't just that the president did this that day. I mean, every single day we're on the reality show with him. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I think this is a little bit unfair with your comment is that Democrats aren't doing anything. And at the same time, we're criticized for spending too much time you know, trying to impeach him, trying to raise issues about his flawed policies and about his behavior when we are working on this. You know, Patrick, we both know that comprehensive immigration reform needs to be the thing that's on the table. And in fact, you know, when we start talking about enhancing our economic position, in this sphere of the world, this comprehensive immigration would raise the wages of these immigrants. It would prevent competition between, say, Mexicans and Americans, you know, who are being paid under the table by these unscrupulous employers who are exploiting the labor and immigration status of people. And according to CRS, our Congressional Research Service, we're looking at more than $1 trillion over a 10-year budget window of economic benefit just from doing comprehensive immigration reform. And so, you know, I'm a person who spends daily criticizing the president on his policies. And you're right. The Mississippi raid was yet another theme in the reality show series.
Well, let's make sure we get to budget here. We spoke with Senator Johnson about this at the chance of another government shutdown as we see September 30th coming. He voiced his concerns. House Democrats and Senate Republicans remain far apart on spending.
Right now, the signs aren't very good. We're going to be taking a test vote on, I think we're going to bring up the defense appropriation bill, and what we're hearing, it's not very positive, that the Democrats do not really want a regular order type of appropriation process.
So what is your view on the chances of a government shutdown as the budget deadline approaches?
Well, Kate, I mean, I'm suppressing my hysterical laughter from just listening to your little blurb there of Senator Johnson talking about how the Democrats don't want a deal. You know, as I indicated earlier in the program, you know, just a teeny tiny sticking point is that, you know, the Republicans want over $8 billion to be taken out of the fiscal year budget for that stupid wall, in addition to $3.7 billion from fiscal year 19. You know, now, you know, and the Pentagon has pushed back.
So do you think we will be able to get a continuing resolution in?
Well, you know, we may be able to get a continuing resolution, but the continuing resolution, there would have, we'd have to agree to backfill the $3.7 billion from fiscal year 90. Now,
we have to, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. Let's do this again.
Gwen Moore is a Democratic congresswoman from Wisconsin representing Milwaukee and the neighboring communities. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.